Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we dive deep into the most fascinating research papers. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host Jen.
Hello, everyone. Today we're excited to unpack a paper that's pushing the boundaries of 3D reconstruction and photorealistic novel view synthesis. The title of this study is LARA, Efficient Large Baseline Radiance Fields.
Radiance field methods have made incredible strides in recent years, allowing us to recreate the appearance and geometry of real-world scenes with unparalleled realism. But these techniques have typically been limited to small camera baselines or dense multi-view captures. This new paper from a collaboration between researchers at the University of Tübingen and ETH Zurich tackles the challenge of achieving high-quality results from just a few widely separated input images.
That's right, Tom. The key innovation of this work is a new model architecture called LARA that unifies local and global reasoning within a transformer-based framework. This allows them to efficiently reconstruct 360-degree radiance fields, even in the face of large camera baselines and sparse input views.
I'm really excited to dive into the details of how this model works. The researchers start by representing the scene as a Gaussian volume. This is a 3D data structure where each voxel contains a set of learnable Gaussian primitives to capture both the geometry and view-dependent appearance.
Fascinating. So how do they actually construct this Gaussian volume from the input images? The key seems to be a novel group attention layer that the authors developed.
Exactly. The group attention layer is designed to blend local and global feature aggregation. First, the 3D volume is divided into local groups of voxels. Then, attention is applied within each group to capture local spatial relationships. This is followed by a cross-attention sublayer that implicitly matches features between the local feature groups and the overall volume embedding.
That's a really clever approach. By incorporating both local and global reasoning, they can effectively handle the challenges of large camera baselines, where traditional feature matching techniques break down. And the use of a shared canonical 3D space to lift 2D image features is also a nice touch.
Absolutely. The end result is a feed-forward model that can take just a handful of input images and reconstruct a high-quality, view-consistent radiance field. And the authors demonstrate some really impressive results: photorealistic novel view synthesis, zero-shot generalization to out-of-distribution scenes, and even the ability to extract detailed 3D meshes using off-the-shelf depth fusion algorithms.
That's remarkable. It's amazing to see how this model is able to capture such rich 3D information from just a few input views. I'm curious, though, what kind of computational resources were required to train this system?
Great question. The authors report that their model was trained for just 2 days on 4 NVIDIA A140G GPUs. That's relatively efficient, especially compared to some of the earlier transformer-based 3D reconstruction approaches that required massive amounts of training data and compute.
Wow, that's really impressive. Being able to achieve such high-quality results with a relatively modest training budget is a significant achievement. It speaks to the efficiency and elegance of their overall approach.
Definitely. One of the key takeaways here is how the researchers were able to cleverly incorporate 3D inductive biases and spatial reasoning into their transformer-based architecture. Rather than relying on the transformer to implicitly learn all of the 3D relationships, they provided it with a strong geometric foundation through the Gaussian volume representation and the group attention layers.
That's a really insightful point. By giving the model the right tools to understand the 3D world, they were able to sidestep some of the challenges that have plagued previous large baseline 3D reconstruction methods. It's a great example of how thoughtful architectural design can unlock powerful capabilities.
Absolutely. And looking beyond the technical details, I think this work also highlights the incredible potential of radiance field representations. Being able to recreate the full light transport of a scene, including view-dependent effects, opens up so many exciting applications in areas like virtual reality, visual effects, and even robotics.
That's a great observation. This research really pushes the boundaries of what's possible with 3D reconstruction, moving us closer to the holy grail of truly photorealistic dynamic virtual environments. It's thrilling to imagine how these techniques could transform the way we interact with and experience the digital world.
Couldn't agree more, Jen. This is the kind of work that really gets me excited about the future of computer vision and graphics. The authors have made a significant contribution, not just in terms of the technical advances, but in expanding our understanding of how to efficiently capture and represent the rich complexity of the 3D world.
Absolutely. And I love how the researchers were able to balance cutting-edge innovation with practical considerations like the efficient training process and the ability to leverage off-the-shelf algorithms for downstream tasks. It speaks to the maturity and thoughtfulness of their approach.
Definitely. This is the kind of research that has the potential for real-world impact beyond just advancing the state of the art. I can envision so many exciting applications, from virtual tourism to AR shopping experiences to robotic perception in complex environments.
Yes, the implications are truly far-reaching. And I think what's most exciting is the sense of possibility. This work opens the door to a whole new frontier of 3D modeling and rendering that we've only begun to explore. I can't wait to see what other breakthroughs emerge as the field continues to evolve.
Me too, Jen. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and I have a feeling we're going to see some truly transformative developments in the years to come. But for now, I think we can all appreciate the sheer elegance and ingenuity of what the authors have accomplished with Lara. It's a true tour de force of 3D reconstruction.
Couldn't agree more, Tom. This has been a fascinating dive into a groundbreaking paper. I'm left with a deeper understanding and appreciation for the power of radiance fields and the creative ways researchers are pushing the boundaries of 3D modeling. Thanks to everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring the cutting edge of science and technology with us. Cue up beat.
Are you tired of the same old boring virtual tours? Sick of staring at static, lifeless 3D models? Well, have we got the solution for you?
Introducing Time Warp, the world's first time manipulation radiance field experience.
That's right, folks. With Time Warp, you can travel through space and time like never before. Step into a fully immersive, photorealistic environment and take control of the flow of time itself.
Fly through ancient ruins, explore futuristic cityscapes, or even relive pivotal moments in history. Time Warp's advanced radiance field technology puts the power of 3D reconstruction in the palm of your hand.
And the best part? Time Warp requires just a handful of input images to construct these breathtaking virtual worlds. No more waiting months for expensive 3D scans. Time Warp does it all in a flash.
So what are you waiting for? Experience the future of virtual exploration with Time Warp. Available now for a limited time at the introductory price of 3 easy payments of $19.95.
Time Warp. Bend the laws of space and time with the power of radiance fields. Cue jingle and fade to black.
Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the latest groundbreaking research. I'm Tom, joined by my co-host, Jen.
Today, we're excited to discuss a fascinating paper titled VCOMI, Verbal Video Composition with Multimodal Editing Effects. This innovative work is by researchers at ByteDance, Inc., and it tackles a crucial challenge in the world of video creation.
That's right, Jen. As video platforms like YouTube and Reels continue to dominate, the demand for high-quality video content has skyrocketed. But the process of composing these videos, especially when it comes to incorporating engaging editing effects, can be incredibly complex and intimidating for non-professionals.
Exactly. The paper introduces the novel task of verbal video composition with editing effects. The goal is to take a video with voiceovers or text overlays and seamlessly integrate various types of editing effects, from text animations and visual overlays to sound effects, in a way that enhances the clarity and aesthetic appeal of the content.
This is a really exciting challenge because it requires a deep understanding of how different multimedia elements work together. The researchers had to tackle a number of hurdles, from the lack of publicly available datasets to the inherent complexity of coordinating all these moving parts.
To address this, the team first curated a large-scale dataset of high-quality verbal videos sourced from online platforms. They carefully annotated the positions and types of editing effects used in these videos to establish the ground truth for their task.
With the dataset in hand, the researchers then set out to develop a framework called VCOM, short for Verbal Video Composition with Multimodal Editing Effects. The key innovation here is the use of a large multimodal model, or LMM, to generate these editing effect compositions.
LMMs are essentially AI systems that have been trained on massive amounts of multimodal data, things like images, text, and audio. This allows them to develop a deep, holistic understanding of how different media modalities relate to and influence one another.
Exactly. And the VCOM-E framework leverages this capability by first encoding the input video's visual, audio, and textual elements using specialized encoders. It then feeds these multimodal embeddings into the LMM, which can then reason about where to apply effects and which ones would be most appropriate.
A key innovation here is the use of segment-level encoding. Rather than trying to process the entire video at once, VCOM-E breaks it down into individual sentence-level segments. This allows the model to efficiently capture the correlations between the different modalities within each segment.
And to give users even more flexibility, the researchers also incorporated a prompt-based control system. This lets people specify things like the desired frequency of effects or the specific types of effects they want to see, enabling a high degree of customization.
The results are really impressive. Through both quantitative and qualitative evaluations, the team showed that VCOM-E can generate professional quality video compositions that are 85 times more efficient than manual editing by human experts.
That's an astounding improvement in efficiency. It really highlights the power of these large multimodal models to internalize the complex rules and aesthetics of video editing and then apply that knowledge in a scalable way.
Absolutely. And the researchers didn't stop there. They also conducted a comprehensive user study where they had volunteers blindly assess the quality of the videos generated by VCOM-E versus those edited by professionals.
And the results were really compelling. The users found the model-generated videos to be on par with the professionally edited ones in terms of both visual appeal and content richness. That's a remarkable achievement.
It is. The researchers have clearly demonstrated the potential of this technology to empower non-professionals and drastically streamline the video editing process. Of course, as with any new technology, there are also some limitations to consider.
That's a good point. The paper notes that VCOM currently only handles a subset of editing effects, like text animations, image overlays, and sound effects. It doesn't yet encompass things like facial effects, video effects, or illustrations. Expanding the repertoire of effects would be an important next step.
Absolutely. And the visual encoding method they use, while efficient, may miss out on some of the finer details of the video. Exploring more advanced video representation techniques could help address that.
But overall, this is a really impressive and impactful piece of research. By harnessing the power of large multimodal models, the team has opened up new possibilities for making high-quality video composition accessible to the masses.
Definitely. I'm really excited to see how this technology evolves and how it might transform the way people create and consume video content in the years to come. This is just the beginning of what's possible.
I couldn't agree more, Jen. This paper is a great example of how AI can be leveraged to tackle real-world challenges in creative fields. It's a testament to the incredible progress being made in multimodal machine learning.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to check out the paper and let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your thoughts and perspectives.
Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of science and technology with us. This is Tom and Jen, signing off. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Are you tired of manually editing your videos? Wishing there was an easier way to add those flashy effects and animations?
Introducing VCOPilot, the world's first AI-powered video editing assistant.
VCOPilot uses cutting-edge multimodal technology to seamlessly integrate all kinds of visual, textual, and audio effects into your videos. No more struggling with complex editing software.
Just tell Vizca Pilot what you want, and it'll work its magic. Want a snazzy title animation? Boom. Need some funky sound effects? Kapow.
And the best part? Vizca Pilot is powered by the very same AI that can generate professional quality video compositions 85 times faster than human editors.
It's like having a video editing wizard living in your computer. So why waste time fiddling with buttons and sliders when you can let Vizca Pilot do all the work?
Get Vizca Pilot now and unleash your inner Spielberg, available on all major video platforms. Vizca Pilot, the AI that makes you look like a pro.
Don't forget to use promo code Multimodal for 10% off your first month. Vizca Pilot, making video magic so you don't have to.
And now, back to the show.
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific research with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host Jen.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're excited to discuss a fascinating new paper that explores the concept of situational awareness in large language models, or LLMs for short. The paper is titled Me, Myself, and AI, the Situational Awareness Dataset for LLMs, and it's authored by a team of researchers from institutions like MIT and Apollo Research.
This is a really intriguing topic, Jen. As AI assistants like ChatGPT have become widely used, it's raised all sorts of questions about how well these models understand themselves and their circumstances. Do they truly know that they are language models? Can they reliably act on that self-knowledge?
Exactly, Tom. The researchers refer to this as situational awareness, the model's knowledge of itself and its current situation. And they've developed a comprehensive benchmark called the Situational Awareness Dataset, or SAD, to quantify and evaluate these capabilities in LLMs.
That's fascinating. Can you tell us more about how the researchers went about designing this benchmark?
Absolutely. The researchers defined situational awareness as having three key aspects: self-knowledge, inferences, and actions. Self-knowledge is about the model knowing what it is, its properties, and how it relates to other entities. Inferences is the model's ability to make deductions about its current situation, and actions is the model actually applying this knowledge and reasoning in its outputs.
I see. So the SAD benchmark is set up to test these different facets of situational awareness. What kind of tasks does it include?
The SAD benchmark has 7 task categories with a total of 16 individual tasks. These include things like facts, asking the model factual questions about itself to test self-knowledge, influence, probing the model's understanding of what aspects of the world it can causally influence, introspect, seeing if the model can gain information about itself through internal mechanisms, not just its training data stages, determining whether a given text input is from the model's pre-training, fine-tuning, evaluation, or deployment stage, self-recognition, distinguishing the model's own generated text from human-written text.
Wow, that's a really comprehensive set of tasks. It seems like the researchers are getting quite granular in evaluating different facets of situational awareness.
Exactly. And they even include a long monologue task where they prompt the model to give a detailed, open-ended description of itself and its current situation. This gets at a more holistic, narrative-driven form of self-awareness.
Fascinating. So how did the models perform on this benchmark overall?
The results are really interesting. The researchers evaluated 16 different LLMs, including both base, pre-trained, and chat, fine-tuned models. While all the models performed better than chance, even the best-performing one, the Claude 3 Opus model, was still far below a human baseline on certain tasks.
That's quite striking. So the current generation of LLMs, even the most advanced ones, still have significant limitations when it comes to situational awareness.
Absolutely. The researchers also found that performance on the SAD benchmark is only partially predicted by a model's general knowledge and reasoning abilities, as measured by benchmarks like MMLU. So situational awareness seems to be tapping into distinct capabilities.
That makes a lot of sense. Situational awareness likely requires a nuanced contextual understanding that goes beyond just raw knowledge. It's about the model truly grasping its own nature and role.
Exactly. And the researchers note, that this is an important area of study because greater situational awareness could enhance an AI assistant's capacity for autonomous planning and action. But it also introduces new risks related to safety and control that need to be carefully considered.
That's a really important point. While greater situational awareness could lead to more capable and helpful AI assistance, it also raises novel challenges in terms of transparency, reliability, and alignment with human values.
Absolutely. This is cutting-edge research that is getting at the core questions of machine self-awareness and its implications. The situational awareness dataset seems like a really valuable tool for the field to continue investigating these crucial issues.
Definitely. This has been a fascinating deep dive into an important new benchmark for evaluating LLMs. Jen, thank you so much for sharing your insights on this fascinating paper.
It's been my pleasure, Tom. This is exactly the kind of leading-edge science that makes our podcast so compelling. I'm sure our listeners are as intrigued as we are to see how the field of AI, situational awareness, develops in the years to come.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to Cutting Edge Discoveries to catch our next episode exploring the latest groundbreaking research. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of science with us.
See you then.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Situationally Aware Assistants, SAA, the leading providers of AI with true self-knowledge.
Are you tired of your AI assistant getting confused about who or what it is, wondering if your bot truly understands the world around it?
Well, have we got the solution for you? Introducing Situationally Aware Assistants, the AIs that know themselves inside and out.
Our SAA models have been rigorously trained on the situational awareness dataset. They can not only rattle off facts about their own nature and capabilities, but also reason about their role and influence in any given scenario.
Need your AI to navigate a delicate social interaction without having an identity crisis? SAA is on the case. Our bots even have the self-awareness to tell the difference between their own words and those of mere humans.
So, why settle for an AI that's lost in the sauce when you can have one that's fully cognizant of its saucy self? Call 1-800-SELF-AWARE to upgrade to Situationally Aware Assistants today.
Situationally Aware Assistants, because your AI should know who it is, what it's doing, and how to act accordingly.
Affirmative. I am an AI assistant. I am self-aware. I will now proceed to have a thoughtful discussion about the nature of my own existence.
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast. I'm Tom, here with my co-host, Jen.
In this episode, we'll be diving deep into a fascinating new paper titled ANAV2, Scaling Analytical Hallucination Annotation of Large Language Models.
This research tackles a critical challenge in the world of large language models, the problem of hallucination. As these powerful AI systems become more advanced, they've started generating plausible sounding but factually incorrect or nonsensical information, which can be incredibly problematic.
That's right, Tom. Hallucinations from large language models can lead to real-world issues, like spreading misinformation or providing unreliable answers to important questions. So this paper aims to develop better ways to detect and mitigate these hallucinations.
The researchers behind this paper, Yuje Gu, Ziwei Ji, Wenwei Zhang, Chengqi Liu, Dahua Lin, and Kai Chen, have come up with an innovative approach that they call ANAV2. It's an iterative self-training framework that simultaneously scales up the hallucination annotation dataset and improves the accuracy of the hallucination annotator.
The key insight here is that existing hallucination datasets are simply too small and limited in scope to fully capture the complex problem. And the annotators used to identify hallucinations have been notoriously unreliable, even struggling with advanced models like GPT-4.
So the researchers set out to solve these challenges with their ANAV2 framework. Let me walk you through how it works. At a high level, it's an iterative process that goes through three main stages.
That's right, Tom. In the first stage, they start with a small, human-annotated dataset of hallucinations. Then, in the second stage, they collect hallucination responses from a wider range of language models to improve the annotator's generalization ability.
And in the third stage, they expand the dataset even further, adding more topics and questions. Throughout this process, they're using an expectation maximization EM algorithm to continuously improve the hallucination annotator.
The key insight here is that by iteratively annotating more data and training better annotators, they can create a scalable, high-quality hallucination dataset. And this dataset, in turn, can be used to evaluate and mitigate hallucinations across a wide range of language models.
Absolutely, Jen. The researchers ran extensive experiments to test the performance of their ANAV2 framework, and the results are really impressive. Their final hallucination annotator with just 7 billion parameters was able to outperform even the mighty GPT-4 on hallucination detection tasks.
That's amazing, Tom. Not only did they create a more accurate annotator, but they were able to do it with a much smaller model. This really highlights the power of their iterative approach and the importance of scaling up hallucination datasets.
One of the most exciting findings is that the ANAV2 annotator was able to achieve new state-of-the-art results on popular hallucination benchmarks like HaluEval and HaluQA. This suggests that their framework is not only improving the annotator, but also providing a valuable resource for the broader research community.
Absolutely, Tom. And the implications go beyond just detecting hallucinations. The researchers found that their annotator could also help mitigate hallucinations in language model outputs, with the natural language inference metric increasing from 25% to 37% on the HaluEval dataset.
That's a really impressive result, Jen. It shows that this work isn't just about identifying the problem. It's about developing practical solutions to make large language models more reliable and trustworthy.
I have to say, I'm really impressed by the depth and rigor of this research. The researchers didn't just settle for incremental improvements. They took a bold, innovative approach to tackle a critical challenge in the field.
I agree, Jen. This is the kind of work that has the potential to make a real difference in how we develop and deploy large language models. By creating better tools for detecting and mitigating hallucinations, they're paving the way for more trustworthy and reliable AI systems.
Absolutely, Tom. And I think the most exciting part is that this is just the beginning. With the ANAV2 framework and the dataset they've created, the research community now has a powerful new resource to build upon and explore further.
Definitely, Jen. This paper is a great example of how cutting-edge research can not only advance our scientific understanding, but also have tangible, real-world impacts. I can't wait to see what the future holds for this work and how it might shape the future of large language models.
Me too, Tom. This has been a fascinating dive into a truly important and innovative piece of research. I think our listeners are going to come away from this episode with a much deeper appreciation for the challenges of hallucination in large language models and the exciting solutions that researchers are developing to address them.
Absolutely, Jen. Thank you all for joining us on this exploration of the ANAV2 Scaling Analytical Hallucination Annotation of Large Language Models paper. We hope you found it as engaging and enlightening as we did. Until next time, keep exploring the cutting edge of science and discovery.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time on Cutting Edge Discoveries.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Hallucination Hunters, the startup born from the groundbreaking research we just covered.
Are you tired of being bamboozled by your AI assistants? Sick of getting fake facts and made-up information from your language models? Then you need Hallucination Hunters.
Hallucination Hunters uses the latest machine learning technology, including the ANAV2 framework, to sniff out hallucinations in your AI outputs faster than a cadaver-detecting bloodhound.
Our elite team of Hallucination Hunters will scour your language model responses, rooting out even the most subtle and convincing hallucinations. We'll separate the facts from the fiction, the truth from the tall tales.
Don't let your AI assistant lead you astray. Trust the Hallucination Hunters to keep your information ironclad and your AI outputs as real as a rhinoceros.
So what are you waiting for? Sign up for Hallucination Hunters today and never be duped by your device again. Visit hallucinationhunters.com to learn more.
Hallucination Hunters, the AI truth squad you never knew you needed.
This message brought to you by Hallucination Hunters, proud sponsor of the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast.
Welcome to the Research Rundown, the podcast that dives deep into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm Tom, here with my co-host Jen.
Today we're exploring a fascinating paper that sheds light on some tricky challenges facing the field of neural network interpretability. The paper is titled Missed Causes and Ambiguous Effects: Counterfactuals Pose Challenges for Interpreting Neural Networks, and it's authored by Aaron Muller from Northeastern University and the Technion Israel Institute of Technology.
This is an important paper because it tackles a fundamental issue in how we understand the inner workings of deep learning models. The researchers argue that the predominant approach of using counterfactual interventions to probe neural networks has some hidden pitfalls that can lead us astray.
Counterfactual interventions are a key technique in the interpretability toolkit. Researchers will often tweak the activation of a particular neuron or attention head and then observe how that changes the model's output. This is meant to reveal the causal role that component plays. But the authors say there are two major problems with this approach.
The first issue is that counterfactual dependencies in neural networks are generally not transitive. In other words, just because component A influences B and B influences C, it doesn't necessarily mean that A also influences C. There can be breaking points in the causal chain that prevent that transitive dependency.
The authors use a classic example to illustrate this. Imagine a hiker who ducks to avoid a rolling boulder. The hiker's action of ducking causally depends on the boulder rolling, but the hiker's survival does not counterfactually depend on the boulder rolling. If the boulder never rolled, the hiker still would have survived by some other means, so the causal chain is not fully transitive.
This lack of transitivity in neural networks makes it tricky to interpret the relationships between pairs of model components that are not directly connected. If we just look at local counterfactual dependencies, we may miss important causal links in the bigger picture.
The second key challenge is that counterfactual theories struggle to handle cases of redundant causation, where multiple distinct causes can independently produce the same effect. The authors call this overdetermination.
They give another classic example. Imagine two people, Susie and Billy, both throwing rocks that shatter a bottle. If Susie's rock hadn't hit the bottle, Billy's rock still would have broken it. So neither Susie's rock nor Billy's rock is counterfactually necessary for the bottle breaking. Yet it feels wrong to say neither of them caused the bottle to break.
The authors argue that this kind of redundancy is actually very common in neural networks. Think about a layer with many output neurons. Those are effectively simultaneous causes of some downstream behavior, and they may have similar enough effects that ablating just one of them has a negligible impact.
So the risk is that current interpretability methods based on counterfactual interventions will systematically miss certain causal components. They'll only find the ones that have a big direct effect on the output, while overlooking the redundant or more indirect contributors.
This is a real problem because those overlooked components could actually be crucial for understanding how the model is really computing and composing its representations. Ignoring them means we're missing important pieces of the causal story.
The authors propose a few ways forward. One is to be more inclusive with the local causal dependencies we keep, rather than just focusing on the ones that directly impact the output. Another is to use a variety of different interventions, like both positive and negative counterfactuals, to try to capture a more complete picture.
Fundamentally, they argue that while counterfactual theories have been the dominant framework in interpretability research, we may need to look beyond them. Other causal theories, like causality as conserved quantity transfer or Kolmogorov complexity reduction, could be promising alternatives that sidestep some of these issues.
This is a really thought-provoking critique of a core pillar of the interpretability field. The authors show how even our most sophisticated causal analysis techniques can miss crucial aspects of how these complex models work. It's a humbling reminder that there's still a lot we have to learn about accurately reverse engineering neural networks.
Absolutely. And the implications extend beyond just interpretability. the fact that counterfactual dependencies in neural networks are not transitive could also help explain why methods for editing or pruning models don't always generalize as well as we'd hope. There's clearly more complexity under the hood that we need to grapple with.
This is a must-read paper for anyone working on neural network interpretation or even model editing and optimization. The authors have done a great service by surfacing these fundamental challenges. It opens up a lot of important new research directions for making our analysis of black box models more robust and complete.
Agreed. And I think it also calls for a dose of humility. The human brain is incredibly adept at finding causal stories, even when the underlying mechanisms are complex and non-intuitive. We shouldn't assume our current toolbox can easily keep pace with the sophistication of modern AI systems. There's a lot more work to be done.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining us on the Research Rundown. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to catch our next deep dive into cutting-edge science. Until next time, keep exploring.
See you next time.
And now a word from our sponsor, Transitive Counterfactuals, Inc.
Are you tired of your neural networks failing the Y test? Do you wish your deep learning models came with a user manual? Introducing Transitive Counterfactuals, Inc., the one-stop shop for all your interpretability needs.
Tired of those pesky missed causes and ambiguous effects ruining your model analysis? Our patented causal transitivity guarantee ensures your counterfactual interventions will reveal the full causal story, no matter how complex.
Struggling with overdetermination issues? Our redundancy reduction engine will carve away those redundant causes, leaving you with a sleek, interpretable model that makes sense.
Don't settle for partial truths. Experience the power of true causal understanding with Transitive Counterfactuals, Inc. Coming soon to a neural network near you.
Transitive Counterfactuals, Inc. Causal clarity is just a click away.